Well, I learned something this week that I found rather interesting. I had the opportunity to be in Washington, D.C. this past week for a few days, and we were there with our grandson, who turns 13 this summer, and we had promised our grandson that on his 13th year that we would do a little Nana and Papa and grandson trip. You ever done any of those? And do you ever regret it? No, I'm kidding. No, we had a wonderful time with our grandson. It was a great blessing. And but we took him to the Capitol. And when we went into Statutory Hall, where you are probably familiar that each state is allowed to submit two statues that are throughout the Capitol, and they put about 35 of these in Statutory Hall. And one of those, of course, is from the state of California, and it is a statue of Ronald Reagan. And something interesting that we would not have known if the person that was giving us the tour had not pointed it out, but the pedestal on which Ronald Reagan stood, in between the pedestal and Ronald Reagan's statue, there was a layer of debris that had actually come from the Berlin Wall. And you remember in 1987 when Ronald Reagan made that famous statement, "Mr. Gorbachev." And as I was standing there and as I was staring at that statue, it made me think. The significance of that moment in his life and in his presidency is forever remembered in that symbol of that statue that Ronald Reagan is standing on the debris of the Berlin Wall that he demanded Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall. Now, Ronald Reagan will be remembered for a lot of things. But one of the most prominent things that he will be remembered for is that moment at that time in history. The thought came to me about my message this Sunday morning. When we think of Philip, we think about an evangelist. As a matter of fact, when we think about Philip's life, although there's not a lot known about Philip's life other than what we read in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 8, one of the things that if we were to have a statue for Philip is we would more than likely want to remember him not for tearing down a wall, but by building bridges of the gospel with the gospel to win people to Jesus Christ. What is it that you and I are going to be remembered for in our lives? What is it that we are going to be known for? Although there are many things that people may know about us, if they were to say, here are the two or three identifying things that really represent this person's life, what would they be? Well, for Philip, it would have been the reality of one who became a guide leading others to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today we have GPS, we have MapQuest, we have Google Maps, we have the app Waze, we have Google Earth, and you would think that finding our way would be easy. As a matter of fact, you can use an app or you can use Google Maps today and you can actually put in a destination, and as you're traveling down the highway, it will tell you if there's trouble up ahead. Aren't you glad you don't always know the trouble that's up ahead in your life? In the passage that we're going to read today, we're going to read how Philip an evangelist, a man whose life could be identified as being all about getting the gospel to people who don't know Jesus Christ. It's here in Acts chapter 8 that we see the Holy Spirit guide Philip in order for Philip to be a guide to the Ethiopian eunuch coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? And I'm going to begin in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 25. And we'll read through the entirety of the rest of this chapter as we read about Philip and his evangelistic ministry. Verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit of God said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. It was from Isaiah. "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch was no longer seeing him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. When you read this passage, let me remind you that it was the Holy Spirit who guided Philip so that Philip could ultimately be a guide to others. Now, I want to give you a key thought this morning that I want you to remember, and I want you to be ready to take it away with you and think about it. God sends the Holy Spirit to guide you in your life and in your service for him. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead who indwells you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and he indwells you that he may guide you as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Two things that I want to point out in this passage that I believe are important to us. And first and foremost, God gives you the Holy Spirit to guide you. This was no mere chance encounter, and certainly not the result of clever human ingenuity. Notice what happens beginning in verse 26. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Now it's interesting because when the words "the angel of the Lord" in the Old Testament, often the angel of the Lord is actually a revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would appear, the word angel means messenger, and it would appear that God sent an angelic messenger to speak to Philip and to say to Philip, look what he says to him, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, you're aware that after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that after Jesus had risen from the dead, that on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was poured out, and from that time forward, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the Spirit of God indwells us, and the Spirit of God is intended to lead us, to guide us into not only all truth that we find in God's Word, but also the Holy Spirit is to guide us every single day of our lives. When you get into this passage, we know what was taking place. The Bible says that they were already headed back to Jerusalem. And yet, along that journey, the Holy Spirit, through the angelic messenger, interrupted Philip and gave him a different direction that he was supposed to go. God gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us. In John chapter 16 and in verse 13, Jesus, speaking about the Holy Spirit, he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit guiding us is not something of a surprise, but in reality, it was what God fully intended to occur. In John 14 and in verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, we're Baptist, and I've been a Baptist a long time, and one of the things that I've learned is that Baptists get really nervous when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, and you shouldn't, because Baptists should talk about the Holy Spirit, amen? And we talk about God the Father and God the Son, but when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, people begin to think there's spooky things happening, but that's not the case. As a matter of fact, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, then you don't belong to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in Romans that if you don't have the Spirit, you do not belong to him. Now, I'm not talking about excesses. I'm not talking about abuses. And I'm not talking about the misuse of the Scripture and the Holy Spirit in a way that is not according to the Word of God. What I'm trying to say is, when we speak of God, we are talking about a triune God who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God who has manifest himself in three distinct persons. And so here in this passage, we see the Holy Spirit at work. In verse 26, an angel, a messenger from the Lord, is directing Philip. But in verse 39, notice what it says. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Paul, in writing to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 8, says in verses 26 and 7, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the Bible says in verse 27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. God gives you the Holy Spirit to guide you. Now, if you want the Holy Spirit to guide you, the first thing you've got to do is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The key word is abide. It's like a tea bag and a cup of hot water. The longer that tea bag is seeping in that hot water, the stronger the tea is going to be. And the more that you abide in the presence of God, the stronger the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to be in your life. He's there in full, but your awareness and your ability to hear the voice of God has everything to do with your sensitivity to the Spirit of God. So how do we become sensitive to the Spirit of God? Well, first of all, we do it by abiding in the Word. If you want to know the voice of God through the Spirit of God, it begins by our reading the Bible. Because we always have heard this said by Wiersbe, when you open the Bible, God opens his mouth. So if you want to know the Spirit of God speaking into your heart and in your life, the best place for you to abide on a regular, ongoing, daily basis is to open this book and read the Bible and let God speak to you on a regular basis. Do you agree with that this morning? So you do so by abiding in the Word of God. But I think another way that we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit is by abiding in worship. Now, that may mean private worship at home where you're praying and singing praise to God, or it's when you gather with God's people and you spend time. We're not here to be observers. We are here to participate in the worship of the living God. Now, I appreciate what Iva sang. Boy, that girl can. I leaned over to Vicky. I said, man, that girl can sing. And she can. She's got a tremendous heart. And our choir and our orchestra do a great job, but their role and their place is not to entertain us. Their role and their place is to elevate our eyes, to look up and to worship the one who is worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. Do you believe this? So you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We do that by abiding in his word, and we do that by abiding in worship. Now, notice in this passage what happens. In verse 26, when the angel spoke to Philip, and then in verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Not only do you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but you also must be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 27. So Philip was on his way with the apostles back to Jerusalem. Along that journey, God intervened and interrupted in his life and picked him up and took him on this desert road to Gaza. Now, if you're going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you also need to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Because God's call in your life may be to an unlikely place, it may be to an unknown place, and it may also be to an untimely place. Gaza. Gaza was one of the five chief cities of the Philistines, along with Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, and Gath. Old Gaza had actually been destroyed early in the first century BC, and a new city that was built later near the coast was the new Gaza. A road from Jerusalem to Egypt, however, still ran through the ruins of old Gaza. Luke's footnote that this is a desert road underscores the strangeness of the Spirit's command to Philip. There were two roads from Jerusalem to Gaza, and the Spirit commands Philip to take the one that was seldom used. If you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, don't be surprised if the Spirit of God speaks to you and says to you something that you think is untimely, unlikely, and unusual. I remember when God called me from North Carolina to Mississippi, and my son, Josh, was going to be a senior in high school. Now, for those of you that have been in the military and had to travel a lot for your work, you get this, but you've done a lot of this in your lifetime. You've moved a lot. And I remember people saying to Vicki and I can't believe that you're going to move your son his senior year of high school. I sat my son down in the kitchen and I said, Josh, I love you. I care about what you think. And I want you to know that I want to hear what you feel about this. I know you love where we live and you love the school that you're going to and you're having a wonderful time and looking forward to your senior year. But son, I want you to know on the front end, as much as I love you, and no matter what you think about this, the only option your father has is to obey the Spirit of God if God tells us to do this. My son looked at me and he says, well, Dad, if God is calling you, don't you think God has something for me? Well, he did. It happened to be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. And now they're married and have given me two lovely granddaughters. And so God works amazing things. Amen. It was very unusual for Philip to go on a deserted road where there wouldn't be many people. More than likely, it was a place where there was potential for disaster and dilemma. But God's Spirit, through the angel of the Lord, spoke to Philip and said, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. What is it that God may call you to do? I want you to know that God sends his Holy Spirit to guide you, but you've got to be sensitive to the Spirit, stay in his word, worship him regularly, but you've got to be willing to be submissive to the Spirit of God. You know, when we talk about our master campus plan and the offering we're having September the 10th, we're not going to badger you. No, we're not going to hound you. We're just going to tell you about it. And we have confidence that if you pray and if the Spirit of God speaks to you, all we can ask you to do is obey what the Spirit of God says. Amen. See, if I had said that about anything else but an offering, you would have really amen me on that. Be submissive to the Spirit of God. God gives you the Holy Spirit to guide you. Here's the second thing I'll finish out the message with this morning. God gives you the responsibility to guide others to Christ. Now, we know the story. Philip goes to the desert road to Gaza, and he encounters, what does it say here? He got up and went, verse 27, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this eunuch was someone that had been placed, much like the secretary of the treasury or the treasurer for the queen. And the fact is that this person was a person of power, influence, and persuasiveness. Obviously, because this person had come from a pagan nation, somehow and somewhere the eunuch had encountered the information about Jehovah God and had come to Jerusalem believing that there was one God and seeking him, seeking to worship him. And on the road back to his home, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God told Philip to go up on the chariot and talk with this Ethiopian eunuch. You think about that. I'm sure that Philip didn't travel in circles with someone that rode in a caravan from the Queen Candace like this. I'm sure that Philip probably thought to himself, who am I to speak to such an individual? But notice what happens in verse 29. The Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And he submitted to the Spirit of God. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? And in verse 31, he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? God gives you the Holy Spirit to guide you, but then God gives you the responsibility to guide others to Christ. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, he said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now, God's given us the responsibility to share the gospel. We have to receive our responsibility willingly. We have to prepare ourselves spiritually. We have to recognize the spiritual needs that are around us. Look, this silliness that we're seeing throughout our nation, and you know, this Wednesday night, I'm going to teach Wednesday morning and Wednesday night on the authority and sufficiency of the Bible. The 21st, I'm going to be teaching about transgender ideology. The fact of the matter is, these people are misled. They are rejecting truth, and we have got to present truth that they may hear the gospel and have the opportunity to be saved and redeemed and repent from all of this. But how will they know if we do not guide them to Christ? We have to recognize the spiritual needs all around us, and we must point people to Jesus Christ. In John 16, the chief role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. So what is it that Philip did for the Ethiopian eunuch? Well, it's the same thing that you and I need to do. We need to help them comprehend their sinful condition. We need to help them comprehend the Savior's provision. We need to help them comprehend what salvation really is. And we need to help them comprehend the steps that follow salvation. So he reads Isaiah. The Bible says in verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" And in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, the story is that when you read this, they're traveling along and there's water. And notice it says in this passage, "What prevents me," in verse 36, "from being baptized?" Notice Philip's explanation. "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. The Ethiopian eunuch got out from that chariot and everyone was watching. And they went, notice, down into the water. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ who sprinkle, but there's no baptismal evidence in the New Testament that sprinkling is the baptismal mode. It is immersion because it represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, with that, the Bible says that they came up out of the water and that baptism wasn't the act that saved the Ethiopian eunuch. Baptism was the outward expression of obedience to the inward reality of saving faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And Philip had guided the Ethiopian eunuch to saving faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has been given to you to guide you, but the Holy Spirit has been given to you because you've been given the responsibility to guide others to Jesus. Cody is sick to lead our second service. He's not going to be here today, so Rick had to step out to go get some things ready. He'll be back in a moment, but I'll never forget not long ago, Rick sharing with me that he felt the Spirit of God compel him to go and witness to these three young men that were probably in their 20 to 22 age range, all of them taller and bigger than Rick was. And Rick said, "Daryl, I at first didn't want to do it, but man, the Spirit of God was on my heart. And I just felt the Spirit of God compel me to go over and share the gospel with those three young men." Aren't you glad to have a worship pastor that does things like that? Yeah. I could tell you story after story about other staff members and other deacons who did that. Gordon Gilbert, a great soul winner, His daughter told me about how many times at various funerals they'd look over and the guys that worked for the cemetery that dug the graves, he'd be over there sharing the gospel with them because the Spirit compelled him to do that. Listen, when you are sensitive and submissive to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will guide you to other people that desperately need to be guided to Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? Now, we have some things to help you with that. They're going to put these things on the screen for you. First of all, I want you to know that we want to help you to be a digital witness. And you can go on our website and get some information about how to be a digital witness. Secondly, you can find out about how you can be involved in going in your everyday life and share the gospel as you go. But third, and probably the most important thing that you can do, is know how to tell your own story of salvation. And you can go on our website and we have a way to help you write down in a very brief summary your salvation story that includes the highlights of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, repentance, and faith, so that you can help guide other people to saving faith in Jesus Christ. What do I want you to do today? I want you to know these three things are the takeaway. God can do amazing things through an available servant. That's what Philip was. Philip was an available servant because he was sensitive and submissive to the Spirit of God. Secondly, every believer should be ready to share the gospel. When Vicki and I were getting ready to go into the House gallery to see the House of Representatives gathering place, we stepped up and this gentleman that worked there looked at me and said, "The Lord got you up today, didn't he?" I said, "Yes, he did." And he looked at me and he said, "Your alarm clock didn't get you up. God got you up. Have a nice day." And I asked him, I said, "Are you a believer?" He said, "I am." I said, "We are too." You know what that guy was doing? In a non-confrontational way, he was building a bridge to plant a gospel seed, and he was doing it to a Baptist preacher. Isn't that awesome? God wants to use you. Thirdly, be ready to go any place at any time for God. Be ready to go at any place at any time for God. Would you stand this morning? Charles Stanley wrote about learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. He tells about, he used to love to take pictures. He was a photographer as well as a pastor. And Dr. Stanley told about going on a hiking, picture-taking trip with a group. And he said, "I had this sense in my spirit that we were going the wrong direction. And I said to the guide, 'Hey, are you sure we're going in the right direction?' And the guide said, 'Oh, yes, just follow me.' A little while later, he just kept having this strong sense that they were going in the wrong direction. And he took out a compass, and he looked at it and he realized we are going in the wrong direction. He said it took us an hour and a half to get back to the place where we had taken the wrong turn. He said, "I learned from that moment two things. Number one, never ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And number two, make sure you're following a guide that knows." I want to ask you this morning, what's the Spirit of God saying to you? Are you here this morning and you need Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Is the Spirit saying you need Christ? In a moment, we're going to have pastors here. Pastor Kenny is online and you may want to speak with him if you're online. But if the Spirit of God is speaking to you and say, "I need Christ," would you come and talk with us? The Spirit of God is saying, "You know what? I've never followed Christ in believer's baptism, but I need to. Are you going to submit to the Spirit today and come and say, I need to be baptized? Are you needing to join this church fellowship and the Spirit of God is drawing you to this church and you say, you know what, today I need to obey the Spirit? Maybe today the Spirit is compelling you to go and witness to someone. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. You do as the Lord leads. God, we pray and we ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us, and we ask that your Spirit will lead us. And God, that we will be witnesses for you, and that we, like Philip, will be sensitive to the working of the Spirit in our lives. And God, that we will obey you at every turn and in every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.